Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Vav. We're holding on daf Mem Hey Amud Beis, about 5 lines before the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Avishai and Elisha ben Numan, Lizchus for Shalema, for Chaim and Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have Rufu Shalema B'soch Shar Chalei Yisrael. So the first thing we're going to do is finish up our discussion from yesterday, whether Be'inon Krat Dechziv, when the Torah gives specific details in describing a din, how important is it that those details be met in order for the din to apply? Then we're going to have a Mishnah that's going to discuss whose bodies get hanged after skila, meaning which bodies. Is it all everyone who gets skila, only specific people who get skila? The Gemara is going to explain the basis of the machlokas, whether it's everyone who gets skila or only certain averos, like a megadeth and an oved avodah zarah. Then the Gemara is going to explain the basis of the machlokas, whether a woman's body gets hanged after skila, because that too is a machlokas. And then we're going to discuss the limitations of the rule that we don't kill two people on the same day. That the Mishnah discusses that rule as well, but there are some limitations on that rule. Sometimes we will kill more than one person on the same day. Then the Mishnah on Mem Vav Amud Aleph is going to discuss how the bodies were hanged, meaning what exactly was the setup, the Isser of Lo Salin, that you're not allowed to leave the body overnight, and how we then proceeded to bury the bodies. The Gemara is going to explain, the Mishnah uses a lashon of tsar of the Shechina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, kalni miroshi, kalni mizrohi, when a Jewish person gets punished. The Gemara is going to explain what that lashon means, and then toward the end of the daf, we're going to talk a lot about kavura. How do we know that there is a mitzvah of kavura, that there's a requirement of kavura, and what is the purpose of kavura? Is it so that the body is not bebizayon, or is it in order to achieve kapara? And then at the very, very end of the daf, going into tomorrow's daf, we'll see if we get to it, we're going to discuss the purpose of hesped. Hesped is certainly there to give honor to somebody, but to who? Is it to give honor to the family who's alive, or is it to give honor to the deceased person? And there are several nafkaminas who, what the goal of that is. The Gemara is going to have 9 rayas in that discussion of what the purpose of hesped is. So let's begin. We are holding still Tashma, a few lines before the Mishnah, and again we're discussing this idea of whether you be'inan krakidukhsiv or lo be'inan. When we have a general halacha and there are specifics in the way that the Torah describes the halacha, can we only apply the halacha when all the specifics can be met, or do we apply the halacha generally even if not all the specifics are shayich? So Tashma, ein lo rechov, ein nasasir nidachas div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds if a city doesn't have a rechov, then it can't be an ir nidachas, because you're supposed to take everything out into the rechov. If it doesn't have a rechov, so then you can't fulfill that requirement. Rabbi Kiva omer ein lo rechov, Oslan Rechov. Rabbi Kiva says, no, if it doesn't have a Rechov, it doesn't mean it can't be in Yerini Dachas. Make a Rechov so that you can fulfill all the requirements of Yerini Dachas. Ad Kalnopli Yel de Marsavar Rechov de Meikar, Binin Marsavar Rechov de Hashanami, Kedemeikar Dami. Apparently, the whole machlokas is, do you need it to have had a Rechov the entire time, or is it good enough that it just now has a Rechov when you're actually carrying out the punishment? Avadkuli Amabin Krakidachsiv, but everyone agrees that without a Rechov, it can't be done. You can't make an Yerini Dachas. Apparently, everyone agrees that you need krakid d'chsiv. Says Gemara, that's true. Tanayim, it's a machlokas tanayim. Whether you need krakid d'chsiv, where do we have such a machlokas tanayim? Ditnan, ein lo bo'en yad, bo'en regel, ozen yamanis, ein lo taro lamis. If a mitzora doesn't have the body parts upon which they need to place the blood, so then he can't have a taro lamis. He can never have a taro because he doesn't. You don't have krakid d'chsiv. You don't have all the details. Reb Lazar menosin al mekomo v'yotze. Reb Lazar says, you know, he doesn't have a thumb, so put it on the place where his thumb ought to be. You put it on the part of the body where it should have been, and that's good enough. Rabbi Shimon Omer, nosin al smolo v'yotze. Say he may not have one on the left side, on the right side, so do the one on the left side, and that's also good enough. So you see that the first shita in Tanaim holds be'inan krakidachsiv, and the next two shitas hold lo be'inan krakidachsiv. You make do with whatever you have, even though it's not necessarily krakidachsiv. Good, new Mishnah now. Kol aniskalin nitlan divrei Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer holds anyone who gets skila also gets hanged. That no, only very specific averos for which you get skila also get the bodies get hanged. What's the purpose of the hanging? The Sefer Achinuch writes, mitzvah tafkav lamin hay, that the reason they do the tliya is in order that other people should see and learn a lesson. It's in order to make it as public a spectacle as possible, so people could see this is what happens when you do this kind of avera. The Ramban, ala Torah, in this week's parsha, the Ramban writes that the tliya is not because of other people, but it's because of the person himself, that his avera was so terrible that he deserves to be hanged. Maybe that's why that dafka megadef and noved avod zarah, those are considered the most terrible averos. So dafka, the most terrible averos, they're the ones that get hanged after the skila. Ha'ish tolino so panav klape ha'am, v'isha panea klape ha'etz divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says there's a difference between the way a man's body and a woman's body is hanged after skila. A man's body faces the people, faces out, whereas the woman's body faces the eitz. V'cham say, no, there's a bigger difference. Ha'ish nitla ve'ein ha'isha nitleis. The woman's body never gets hanged up in the first place. Amar Reb Lazar, v'lashum ben shetach tal l'nashim ba'ashkelon. What do you mean a woman's body doesn't get hanged up? Don't you know the story of Shum ben Shetach? He hung the women's bodies after he killed them. Amar lo shmonim nashim tala ve'ein don ha'shnayim bi'yamechad. Obviously, Shum ben Shetach was yotzim in a klal. That was an exception to the rule, because there were 80 of them, and he killed them all in one day. And the rule is he's not allowed to kill more than one in a day. So you can't bring a riot just because he hung up the bodies, that women's bodies, in fact, get hung up. The Adrama points out that the reason for the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that the man's body faces out, whereas the woman's body faces in, has to do with the dignity of the woman, that it would be a big bizayon for a body to face out. So part of the after is that her body should face in. For a man, it's not such a terrible bizayon. The Rabbeinu Hillel in the Sefri and Parsha Kisetze says that the reason is because a woman would be a lack of tznius if it was panei klapei ha'am. So it's something to do with how much of a kavod or lack of kavod it is for the bodies themselves. However, the Sefer Sanhedrin Katana suggests differently. He says that it's dafka klapei ha'etz, that when a woman gets killed, she faces an eitz. What does an eitz have to do with a woman's sins? Well, that brings us back to Chava and the Eitz Hadas, and that this is symbolic of the fact that the primary cause for Chava's sin was this Yetzer Hara that was built through the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Whereas a man who typically was Adam was not Nesava the Eitz Hadas, what caused Adam to sin? It was Chava that got him to sin. It was peer pressure that got him to sin. So the person, we don't say he's klape chutz. We say he's klape ha'am. He faces the people, because man tends to sin because of peer pressure, because other people are doing it. Women, it's because of the inherent yetzarara that was created from the yetzadah, so she's klape ha'etz. Men, it's because of peer pressure, so he's klape ha'am, those who would pressure him to do so. Now the Achronim write, from the fact that the Chum say that it was Hora Asha, Shum ben Shetach, at the end of the mission we said it was Hora Asha. What's the raya that it was Hora Asha? Because there were 80 of them biyom echad. So the Achronim say, why not just say, because there was no Edim Vasra, that they didn't have Edim Vasra, so it must be that there was Edim and Asra. But the Rambam in Hilch Sanhedrin, Perach Avdalid, says that there was no Edim Vasra by Shum ben Shetach. There was no Drisha v'chakira. How could he have possibly done Edim Vasra, Drisha v'chakira of 80 people in a single day? He didn't go through the proper procedures. So the Achronim just point out, the Aruch Lener points out that this Rambam is difficult in light of our Mishnah, because if you really want to point out that Shum ben Shetach is Yotzim in a Klal, so you're going to bring some obscure halacha that you're not allowed to do multiple misos in a single day. What about the direct halacha, drisha, chakira, edim, asra, all the basic requirements? They didn't even do that. That would have been the better raya. The Mishnah is burying the lead over here if it's not telling us that. So that's a strong kasha on the shitas harambam. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, v'humas v'talisa, yachal kol hamam sinitlin. So you might think from the pasuk that everyone who gets killed, every chiyuv misa, the body then gets hanged up. Tamalomar ki killa selukim taloi ma mekalel zeh shebeskila afkol shebeskila, that it divrei Rabbi Elazar, that it's only someone who's chayiv skila like a mekalel. That's what we learn from ki kila laselukim, that someone who curses the Ribbono Shel Olam gets skila. So do others who get skila get hanged up. But the other three mises of Beis Din, there is no tliya. The Chum say it's even more limited. You're right, it's like only people like a Mekalel have Tliya after the Skila, but not like a Mekalel in the general sense that anyone who's Chayiv Skila, but in the very specific sense that like a Mekalel was Kofar Be'ikr, only those who were Kofar Be'ikr get Tliya after Skila. So what exactly is the basis of this Machlokes? Rabbanan Darshi Klali Uprati, Rabbi Lazar Darish Ribuya Meyute. The Rabbanan are Darish Klali Prat, and Rabbi Lazar Darshins with the style of Ribuya Meyut, as follows. Rabbanan Darshi Klali Uprati, Vuhumas Vitalisa Klal. Vuhumas Vitalisa is a Klal. It sounds like anyone that you kill is going to have a Taliya afterwards. Then it says, Ki Kilalas, like a person who was Mekalal Hashem, that's Prat. That's highly specific. So, Iyavu Mekarvila Dadi, Aminin Bechal Masha Prat. Generally, the rule would be that if you have a klal immediately followed by a prat, we assume that the halacha is limited only to the prat, that only the prat applies, the klal does not apply at all. So haniin midiachrin lo. So it only applies to these people, but something else, but any other, it only applies to the mekalel, but anyone else other than the mekalel would not be included in this din of taliyah. But hashtu demerach kimei adadi, now that we see that they are distant from each other, meaning that the klal and the prat are not right next to each other, ahani l'rabuyi avodus kachavim t'damilei b'kol mili. So we allow the klal followed by the prat to be a little more inclusive because it's merach kimei adadi. So it's not limited purely to the exact case of the prat, we get to include something else that's almost exactly like the prat. So what's almost exactly like a megadev? Someone who's over avodah zarah is almost exactly like a megadev. Rabbi Lazar darish riboy miyute. Rabbi Lazar darshins are riboy and miyut. And therefore, had it not been merach ki me'adadi, it would have gone as follows. Vumas v'talisa riboy, ki kilas miyut. So yav mekarvila dadi, if they would have been right next to each other, we would have already included not just the prat, because if you darshan in the style of Ribuy Miyut, you get to already be a little more expansive. So we would have included not only a Magadev, but even an Ovid Avod Zara. But now that the Merach Kimei Adadi, we get to be even more inclusive. Since they're more distant from each other, we get to include Shar and Niskalin as well. If you look at the top Tosos of here, points out, Vadam Rin Menachos, Klala Prat, Amurchakin Zamizet, Ein Donnos of Klala Prat. Our whole drush over here is that even though they're Muruchakin from each other, not only does that allow us to darshan it as a Klala Prat, it allows us to darshan as a more expansive Klala Prat. Yet the Gemara Menachos says that whenever they're Muruchakin Zamizet, you can't darshan a Klala Prat. So what does that mean? Says Tosos, Lav de Ein Donnin Klal, El Donnin Bechala Prat, Vahani the Rabuye Midi, Ki Hacha da Hani the Rabuye Akum. No, it doesn't mean that you can't darshan it as a klal prat at all. It means that you can't darshan it as a normal klal prat. That the rules change slightly when it's meruchak and zemizah. And that's exactly what we see is happening in our Gemara, that the rules change slightly. Klal prat is normally very limiting, so we're a little more expansive. Riboy emiyut is normally a little less limiting, but when it's meruchak, it's even more expansive than that. Now, the idea of ein b'chalal mashar prat, let's say the Gemara said, if they're mekur of la'adadi, if they're right next to each other, you have a klal and a prat, the rule only includes the prat. So the Rashi points out the Embachal Masha Prat, because we assume that the prat is a perush of the klal. It's coming to be mefarish that the klal only refers to this prat and nothing more. So asks the Ran a very basic question: why mention the klal at all? Just mention the prat. Meaning, if the whole thing is going to be that when you have a klal prat, Ein b'chal mashar prat, that the prat is the only din, so then why even bother mentioning the klal? So the Ran suggests, you're right, as far as the drasha itself is concerned, had we only mentioned the prat, we only would have known the prat, and it's the same result as a klal of prat. But had we not had the klal preceding the prat, we would still use that prat to make other styles of drasha. Meaning we might say, oh, let's use this prat to make a kal v'chomer, to make a memetzinu, a binyanav, and we might extend it that way. We might learn other halachos to expand it beyond just the prat. By having a klal precede the prat, we're showing that you cannot use any other drushas over here. You are limited just to this style of drusha of klal uprat, and that's why it's valuable to have the klal in this case. Good. Ha'ish told, and then we said that a man, we had a machlokas, what the difference is between the hanging of the body of a man and the hanging of the body of a woman. Rabbi Elazar said the difference is which way they face, and the Chacham say, no, the difference is that a woman's body doesn't get hanged at all. So my time at the Rabbanan, what's the svara for the Rabbanan, or what's the basis for the Rabbanan Shita? Amakra v'talisa oso. When it talks about the Taliya, it says oso, so v'dashin oso, v'lo oso, that only a man, not a woman. Rabbi Eliezer would say, no, the oso is for a different drasha. Oso below ksuso, that when he gets hanged, we don't dress him, he's without his clothing. Tells points out when he's already without his clothing, because we stoned him, and when we stoned him, we already learned he's without his clothing. So Tos says, yeah, but we're dashing, you might have thought that you get him dressed, you dress the body before you hang it up. So that's why it has to tell us, no, oso below ksuso, even when you do the hanging, it's below ksuso. But it does not come to be memayit, a woman, v'rabbanan, the Rabbanan would say, enachinami. You're right, oso is to teach below ksuso. Elo amakra v'chia be'ish chet. So we darshan v'chia be'ish chet, that it's ish v'lo isha, that only a man and not a woman gets hanged. All of this is from this week's parsha, but again, as we mentioned the other day, none of that really counts as daf yomi coincidence, because half the Torah is in this week's parsha, meaning you have 1/6 of the mitzvos in all of the Torah are in this week's parsha. Reb Lazar, hay v'chia be'ish, my darish bey, what does Reb Lazar do with the pasuk of v'chia be'ish? So am resh lakish, helu mu'utei ben sora remora, comes to exclude ben sora remora. Vatani ben Soramora niskal v'nitla divrei Blazer. What do you mean to exclude a ben Soramora? Blazer holds ben Soramora is included. A ben Soramora's body also gets hung up. Elo am Rav Nachman Yitzchak l'rabos ben Soramora. Now comes to include a ben Soramora. My time, da amar krav v'chia b'ish chet. Ish velo ben chet. Misha al cheto nerag, yotze ben soramora sha'al shum sofo nerag. Have miut achar miut, ven miut achar miut al rabos. We have a double miut over here. It says ish, so you say ish velo ben, and then it says chet, misha al cheto nerag, yotze ben soramora, that's al shum sofo nerag. So it's a double exclusion of a ben soramora. Ish velo ben, and chet, only someone who dies for a sin. A ben soramora doesn't die for any sin he's already committed. He dies for a sin that we think he will one day commit. So that's a miyut achar miyut, and ain't miyut achar miyut al l'rabos. Whenever you have a double miyut, we always assume that comes l'rabos. Rashi says, why is that? I would think a miyut achar miyut, which should be super limiting. Why is that l'rabos? Rashi says, midihi b'torah. Yeah, you can't ask questions. You know, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, he gave us the midah shatar and drashas ben. This is a midihi b'torah. That's just the way it is. That's just the way we're supposed to learn the Torah. The Ad Ramah, however, gives some svara to it. He says, since the second miyut is totally unnecessary, so we have a general rule in the Torah of Imeinu Inyan, that Imeinu Inyan Lazah, Teneu Inyan, so if it's Einu Inyan Lamait, because we already have a Miut, so Teneu Inyan Larabos. Or, says the Adramah, the second Miut is Megala, that just like it's not really coming to be Memait, because it's not necessary to be Memait, so it's Megala that the first Miut is not coming to be Memait either. And that both of them are simply examples, but that they are not limiting the Halacha to specifically those two cases. Meaning, if you only have one miyut, I would say, good, so that's limiting. But when you have a double miyut, so that's megala, the second miyut is megala, that the first miyut is not really a miyut, it's ludugma bialma. Then the Adrama says, another possibility is that the second miyut is mima'it on the first miyut, which is therefore marba. Meaning, if you have a limitation, then we say, no, we're going to limit that limitation. How do you limit a limitation? By saying it's not a limitation, it's an expansiveness. So that's how ein miyut achar miyut works. So Rashi says, midi b'torah, the Yad Rama thinks he has several svaras for how ein miyut achar miyut el l'rabos works over here. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amr lehen Rabbi Lezer, v'lo shum ben shetach tal anashim, how can you say women's bodies don't get hanged? What about shum ben shetach? So the Chum responded, shum ben shetach wasn't playing by the rules. That was an exception to the rule because he killed 80 people in one day. We normally don't even kill more than one. Amr of chisal lashanu el b'shtei misos. This rule that we don't kill more than one is if it's more than one misa. Avol b'misa achas, but if it's all the same misa, then danin, then we would kill more than one person with the same misa. But Shimon ben Shetach was one misa. And yet they said to him, ain danin, even though it was one misa, that normally the rules, they said to the Chama said to Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah, that you see that it's a rule breaker because he killed multiple people. But what do you mean? He killed multiple people with the same misa, so it's not a rule breaker. Eli itmar hachi itmar. No, what their point was to Rabbi Lazar was as follows. Losha, meaning what the real limitation on this halacha is as follows. Losha nuel b'misa achas ke'ein shtei misos. Ve'echidami kigon shtei averos. That when do we not kill two people in the same day? When two people committed two separate averos, even if they're receiving the same misa. Avol b'misa achas ve'avera achas. But if two people committed the same avera and are therefore receiving the same misa, then danin, then we would kill more than one person on the same day. So masra debarava ein danin shnayim biyom echad vafilu benoef no efes, that you can't even kill a noef and no efes, and an adulterer and an adulteress on the same day. Isn't that misa achas vavera achas? And we still see you're not allowed to do it. So tigmar of chista bebas kohen ubaala. No, it's talking about a bas kohen and the boel bas kohen, where they're actually chayiv separate misos. So that's the, so even though it's a noef and a noefes, but because she's a bas kohen, she's bisreifa, he's bechanek, so they have different misos, even though they did the same avera because of who she is. Oh, the bas kohen v'zom mezom meha, or the bas kohen and the zom mezom meha, those who were edim zomim, those who were mazim her edim zomim. So, meaning if it were just her edim zomim, then it would, that are getting killed, it would mean that she's not getting killed because it would mean that the testimony against her was false. But zom mezomeha means that the testimony against her was true. The guys who tried to be mazim them were false, and therefore she's getting killed, and the zom mezomeha are getting killed. So the zom mezomeha would get the misa that the zomim would get. The zomim get the misa that the guy would get. So she's getting a different misa than the zom mezomeha. Zomimeha. That's the whole thing. So the Rabbi Yona just raises the question: why mention Bas Kohen and Zomimeha that they get Shtei Misos? Even Bas Yisrael and Zomimeha that get Misa Achas are Ein Donim Biyom Echad because it's Shtei Averos. Meaning there are two things that we said over here: Shtei Misos you don't get on the same day, but also Shtei Averos you don't get on the same day. What did the Zomimin do? The Zomimin lied. They said false testimony. What did she do? She's an adulteress. It's a totally different avera. So this may relate to exactly, and the Rishonim argue whether that's the real reason over here. Is it because it's two averos, or is it because it's two misos? So this may relate to how exactly we view Edim Zomim. I mean, the idea that an Ed Zomim gets what they try to give to the other person, does that mean that we view their sin as the sin of the other person that they testified against? Or no, their sin is Edos. It's not, it has nothing to do with the sin of the other person. It's the onesh of the other person that they're receiving, but it doesn't relate to the sin itself. So it probably relates to the lumdus of Edom Zomim over here. Tanir Blazman Yaakov Omer Shamati Shabezin Makin Vonshin Shalom in a Torah. That I heard that we can even, that we have a tradition that Bezin even has the ability to give Onshim that are beyond what the Torah prescribes. V'lo laver al divrei Torah, not that Bezin has the right to be over al divrei Torah, elekde lasu siyag la Torah, but to make a siyag la Torah, to make sure that people are taking things seriously, so Bezin could do whatever they see is necessary in order to make sure that people are keeping all the rules. So for example, there was a story of a guy who rode on a horse on Shabbos, which by the way is Nisa Drabanan, right, that maybe he's going to be Tolish or something. So and they brought him to Beis and they gave him Skila. But Nisa Drabanan, he gets Skila? Not because he deserved Skila for that Avera per se, but because they saw that Chil Shabbos was becoming something that people were not so careful about, and therefore they felt it was necessary to make an example of somebody. They felt it was necessary to come down extra strong on Chil Shabbos, and that's why they did so. Shuv Ma'isa Bademecha Sheitiach Hesisho Tachas Ateina Viviu LeBeizdin VeHilkuhu Lomne Sharay LeKach LeShasha Tzrich LeKach. A man was with his wife underneath the Teina in a public area, so it's not technically an Isser. It's Menuvel Bereshus HaTorah. It's not technically an Isser for which you get Malkus. There's no Losasei in the Torah, but such a public display of, you know, that's totally unbecoming of a person, and therefore they gave of Malchus, because they thought that this was going to lead to a terrible pritzus in general, that this wasn't going to be an isolated incident unless they nipped it in the bud right away, unless they did something right away to make a very strong statement. In general, there are things that a person is allowed to do that are not isurim, but if you do it publicly, it becomes very unbecoming of a person. The Gemara in Kiddushin, I just gave a shiur yesterday about the topic. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that that a person who eats bashuk, ha'ochel bashuk, is like a kelev. He's like a dog, and he's pasul la'edus. So what? Something's wrong with eating? No, that's something of a person is sitting there stuffing his face in public and with a lot of people around. So it's just unbecoming. It's unbecoming of a Talmud Chacham. It's unbecoming, perhaps, of people in general. That sometimes there are certain things that are supposed to be that are fine acts to do, but not in a public setting. Now, the idea that Beis Din is Makan Von Shalom and Torah has to have certain limitations, because you can't just say Beis Din could just do whatever they want. So the clear limitation is Chuvas Rashba writes that when they see that there has to be Shashat Tzricha L'kach, that they see that there's a need for it, and they're not just doing it because they want to do it. The Ran writes that the type of Beis Din that does this has to be a Beis Din of Mumchin and Smuchin, like Shimon ben Shetach. I know to do Mises Beis Din, you have to be Mumchin and Smuchin, says the Ran, Kal v'chomer. If to do what the Torah actually prescribes, you need to be Mumchin and Smuchin, so to have the confidence to be able to be Makan Vonchin Shalom and Adin, to say that I'm going to know an onus that's going to be appropriate here, where the Torah doesn't, you need even more. But other Rishonim say, yeah, but that's only true, and even the Ran himself says this, that's only true if they're doing it on their own. But if the Malchus gives them the right to do this, then they can be done as a government. Meaning a government is allowed to run a government the way they see fit, the way they think is necessary to run society. So if Beis Din is filling that role to make sure that society functions in, with basic decency, so then they can be Makan Vonchin even if they're not Mumchin Usmuchin. That's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva to the governor of the state of New York when he asked about capital punishment. So first he goes through and he says, capital punishment in Jewish Beis Din, how hard it is to do, we almost never do it. And it's really there just as a deterrent that people should see that we take these crimes very seriously, but we don't actually do it. But then at the end he says, but if you see that there's absolute chaos in society, so as a government, you got to do what a government does. And if a government feels that that's what's necessary, then the government is allowed to do such things. The Taz, just one last point over here before we move on, the Taz finds a remez in this Gemara to his famous chiddush. The Taz has a chiddush about the limitation of when the rabbanim are allowed to make dinim, when they're not allowed to make dinim. In fact, one of the Taz says it in three places in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodei Kuf Yud Zayin, in Chosh Mishpat somewhere, and he says it in Hilchos Shofar, in Tofer Samaches. The Taz writes that Beis Din and any Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are not allowed to make a din that goes against the Beferish Pasuk in the Torah. They're allowed to make a din that's against the din d'arai, so they could say, don't blow Shofar on Shabbos. But if there's a Pasuk in the Torah that says specifically, yes, blow Shofar on Shabbos, hafilu b'Shabbos, they're not allowed to make a din that goes against that. The Taz raises the question, don't blow Shofar on Shabbos, Shem Yavrienu Dal Rams Prishasam. He says, why don't they make a similar Gezerah? Don't blow Shofar on Yantif, because the Gezerah Shem Yisak and Klishir. We're not allowed to clap and dance because you might come to fix a musical instrument, even if there are no musical instruments around, right? Chazal made such a gzeirah l'gemara in Beitza. So wouldn't it make more sense that if you're blowing a horn, that the Shem Yisak and Klei Shir, that they should make such a gzeirah? He said, no, but the Torah says you have to blow shofar. So you can't, the Chacham are not authorized to make such a din. Where does he see that Chacham are not authorized? So the Gemara has an extra phrase over here. That Beis Din is Makan Von Shalom and HaTorah, then the Gemara adds in, V'lo lavor al divrei Torah! Elo kedei lasa siyag l'torah. Why do you need to add v'lo lavar al divrei Torah? The basis of Makom Shalom and Adin kedei lasa siyag l'torah, in order to make a siyag l'torah. No, but it has to add v'lo lavar al divrei Torah. They're limited. They can't do it in a way that's beferish over al divrei Torah, but kedei lasa siyag l'torah. So he says that's an expression of the limitation that Beis Din has. Okay, new Mishnah. Ketzat tolim. So how would we do this hanging? Meshaken esakor ba'aretz. We'd stick a beam into the ground. Va'eitz yotzei, and then there was another piece of wood that stuck out of that beam. Umakiv sheyado zol gavzu. We take the body and we tie his hands one on top of the other. Vitolo, so we hang him by his hands. Rabbi Yosi Amar Akora Mota Ala Kosel. Vitolo, so kederek shatabachin osin. That it's one beam. It's it's not a beam with a piece of wood sticking out at a right angle. It's one beam that's leaning up against the wall, and we hang him on that beam the way butchers hang their meat. Umatirin osamiyad, and then we immediately cut him down right after we hang him. V'imlan, and if you leave that body hanging, over lav lo sase. That's a violation of a lo sase in this week's parsha. Shremar lo salin of lasso ala eitz ki kavar tik berenu ki killas elukim talui. Kolomer mnei maze talui meisha birich has Hashem. Why is this guy hanging? Because he was mevarich has Hashem v'nimtz Hashem shemayim mischalal. And that itself is going to be a chalal Hashem. Everyone's going to see, oh, that's a person that cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the more you have an obvious symbol of cursing Hashem, that for all to see, the greater bizayun it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's perpetuating, it's giving life to his sin. Amra Meir, b'shasha adam itztayr, shechina maldash nomeres. When a person is going through suffering and punishment, what does the shechina say? Kalni meroshi, kalni mizroi. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that phrase means, but it's an expression of anguish. Im kena makom itztayr adam itshol shoyim shenishbach, kal v'chomer adam itshol tzadikim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much tzar over the blood of reshayim that gets spilled, so kal v'chomer, the blood of tzadikim. V'lozu b'vadom rel, kalam elin esmeso, over blosas. Say anyone who leaves his mace unburied overnight is in violation of losay. It's not only by mitzvah's mace, and it's any time you don't bury a mace. Halino lichvodo lahavila aron v'tachrichim ain't over love. But if the reason you left him unburied is to bring an aron and tachrichim, it's not a violation. We dafka mention aron v'tachrichim, the Yin Yaakov writes, but it's really any sort of kavod to bring maspidim, to bring makonanim. It's just that by mitzvah's mace, and they didn't have maspidim. You don't say a hesped on mitzvah's mace, but really for any kavod for the mace, you're allowed to be Malinus Mace. So that's how the minig is. We're Malinus Mace in order to get the Mace to Eretz Yisrael, if he wants Kvura Ba'aretz, because that ultimately is the Kvoda, that he's going to have Kvura Ba'aretz. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva. For how long would we do that? Meaning, let's say there's Yantif in between and this and that. By the time you get him to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be 10 days, he has an example. It's going to be 10 days by the time you get him to Eretz Yisrael. So that Rav Sternbach's not so excited about. He thinks that there is a limit. We're Malinus Mace to get him to Eretz Yisrael, but he thinks we're within a certain limit. Not everyone agrees. Lo you cover us and they don't initially bury him in his Kivrei Avos, where his family burial plot is. Elishtei Batei Kvaros Hayu Musukanin LeBezdin. Bezdin had two Batei Kvaros that were designated specifically for Misos Bezdin. Achlis in the Aragim and the Chnakin, Vachas in the Skalin and the Srafin. One for the less severe Misos, one for the more severe Misos. Nisakel HaBasar, once his flesh decomposes, Malaktinis HaTzamos V'Kovernos San V'Mekoman. Then we take the bones and we bury them in their proper place. V'Akrovim Bayim V'Shalim B'Shloma Dayanim. The Krovim come and they speak nicely to the Dayanim U'B'Shloma Edim and to the Edim. Kolomar She'ein B'li Beinu Aleichem Shedin Emes Dantem. As an expression that we don't bear any grudge against you, we know that you were just doing your job and you did the right thing. V'Loyim Misablin Aval Ornin She'ein Aninus El B'Leiv. They would not be Misabel on the Haruge Bezdin, only, but they would have Aninus because Aninus is only B'Leiv. Rashi says that it's a Bizayon for them not to be misabel on them, and that ultimately will give the mesim a kapara because you're being mevaza them by not being misabel. So the Yin Yaakov says, why not just say bavod rishon rina? Meaning that's why we're not misabel on them, because you're not supposed to be misabel. You're supposed to be celebrating the loss of rishon bavod rishon rina. So the Yin Yaakov says, because he's not a rasha anymore, he already had the kapara of his misa. So once the misa was a kapara, that's the vida that we say at the end. So then it's no longer bavod rishon rina. Whereas other rishonim say, no, it's still bavod rishon. You know, he had a partial kapara from his misa, and then the kapara continues by not being misabel on him, and that's the real reason. Not like Rashi says. Tan Rabbanan ilu nemer chet v'talisa is yomer talu nosavach kach misnosav. Had it said chet v'talisa, I would have said, yeah, first we hang him and then we kill him. Kederek shamalchusosa, and that's the way governments do it. Tamalomer v'humas v'talisa to teach us misnosav v'achar kach talu nosav. Haketzad. So how do we do it? Mashnosav tzamach l'shkias hachama. We leave him alive until close to shkias hachama. And then, right then, the gomrenes dino, we have a gemar din, umemisin oso, and then we execute him, v'achar kach tolin oso, and then right away we hang him, but you can't leave him overnight, you can't leave him there after nightfall, so echer kosher v'echer matur k'day l'kayim mitzvah t'liya. One guy ties him up, the other guy right away cuts him down, and the r'makayim mitzvah t'liya for that split second, and that's good enough, that's the whole mitzvah. Tan rabbanan eitz, shomeini bein b'tolish bein b'mechuber. From the word eitz, it could mean anything. It could mean something that's attached to the ground or not attached to the ground. That's why it says kikavar, that it has to be something, because remember, we bury the eitz as well, not just the person. So it has to be something that all you need to still do with it is kavura, as opposed to a tree that's still attached to the ground is mechusar both ktsitsa and kavura. Rabbi Yosef, Mishan mechusar lekavura, Yatsa shemechusar tlisha kavura. Rabbi Yosef says, you know what? If it's stuck in the ground, even if it's not still growing from the ground, it's still mechusar another step. It still requires tlisha. I mean, everyone, the Rabbi Yosef says the reason you lean it up against the wall rather than stick it into the ground is because if you stick it into the ground, it's still missing too many steps. The Rabbanan would say, no, that's not a big deal. Tlisha lav klumi. To just pull it out of the ground is not a big deal. If it were still rooted in the ground, that would be a big deal. But just to pull a pole out of the ground that was placed there by a human being, that's not such a big deal. And part of the statement that's made is, why is this guy hanging? Because he was birich as Hashem, and therefore it's kikil as al kim taloi, because it's going to be such a busha to the Ribbono Shel Olam that everyone's going to realize that this was a person who's mevarich as Hashem. That's why we don't want to be malin esames. We want to get him down from there right away. Tanya, amra meir, mashal ma davar dome. It's a mashal as follows. L'shnei achim tu umim bi'ir. You have two twins, identical twins in a city, v'ir achas, in one city. Echon minu melech, v'echad yatzel listius. And they went in very different directions. One became a head of state, one became a king, and the other one then became a bandit. Siva melech vitalu. So the melech had the one who was a criminal killed. So Omer melech tali. But anyone who saw the body said, oh my gosh, that's the melech, the king is hanging. So tziva melech varidu. So the king says, get him down. So too, tzelem elokim is hanging. That itself is an inherent bizayon takarosh baruch hu, because a human being is created with tzelem elokim. There's a discussion in the Rishonim over here, does this apply to a guy as well? Is Yisrael lanas hameis to a guy as well, or do we assume Tzelem Elokim doesn't just mean all human beings that Adam is Nivra B'Tzelem, but specifically to those who are Bnei Yaakov, because Yaakov is the image that's on the Kisei HaKavod. So maybe it's a higher level Tzelem Elokim that we're specifically referring to. Amar Reb Meir, my mashma. So meaning, what is this lashon of Kalmi Miroshi, Kalmi Mizrohi? What's the implication of that specific lashon? So Amar Abayi Kamandi Amar Kalles. It's like a person saying that I'm not light in my head and my arms. Amar Le Rava Imkain, if that's what he's trying to say, Kaved Elai Roshi, Kaved Elai Zroi Mi Bayile. There's a word for not light, Kaved. That's heavy. Why don't you just say that? Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, no. Kamandi Amar Kili Alma. It's not saying I'm not light, but it's saying that the world is light for me. I don't want to mention, he doesn't want to mention Kvedus about himself, so he says Kali Olam. So Haimi Baile Lugufa. But wait, no, the word Kililas can't be coming to teach me that. We need the word Kililas for the basic halacha, that a Mekalel gets hanged. Same Kain, Nemakra Mekalel, my Kililas. No, if that's all it was teaching, it should have said Mekalel. Why does it say Kililas? It must be teaching us that this lament of the Shechina as well. So maybe all it's teaching is the lament of the Shechina, and we can't learn that someone who's Mekalel gets hanged. Imkei Nemakra Kalas, my Kililas, Shema Minatarti. So we can have two drushes, both that it's a Mekalel and this Lashon of Kalni Miroshi, Kalni Mizrahi. V'lo Zubilvad. Then we said, not only when it's someone who was killed by Beis Din, but any time you leave a mace unburied, it's a violation of an Isser. Amr V'yachim Mishram Rishon Menichai, Minayin L'malanas Mace Shover Alav Belos Haseh. How do I know that Alanas Mace is a violation of a law in the Torah? Tamal Omar, Ki Kovar Tik Brenu, Mikan L'malanas Mace Shover Belos Haseh. Igad Amr V'yachim Mishram Rishon Menichai, Remez L'kvura mina Torah minayin. How do I know that there's a remez to kvura in the Torah? Tamalomar ki kavar tikbrenu mikan remez l'kvura mina Torah. So we see that remez to kvura mina Torah. Amle shvar malka shavar amelch said the Rav Chama kvura mina Torah minayin. He challenged him. Where do you see kvura in the Torah? Ishtik v'amar levilamidi. Rav Chama didn't respond. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov im saral mabiyadet pshay. Look at our leaders. They're a bunch of fools. He didn't know how to respond. Where there's kvura in the Torah? So di bayle memra could have simply said ki kavar. So it says Gemara, no, the love of Aaron, because Shavar Malka wouldn't have accepted that response. He would say Kikavar just means that you make an Aaron, not that you have to put him in the ground. So Tikbarenu, and why didn't you just say the second Lashon of Tikbarenu, tell you that you have to put him in the ground? Lomashmalei, he wouldn't have bought that. He doesn't think a double expression. Shavar Melech wouldn't have thought that a double expression means anything. V'neima midi ikbor tzadiki, maybe he should have brought him a riot from the fact that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all buried. Nah, min haga bi'alma. He would have said, yeah, that was because that was the minag, but not because there's such a did. So but maybe midi kavrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Moshe. He should have brought a Mariah from the fact that Hashem buried Moshe. Hashem just wanted to do what the minhag was, and the minhag was that you bury people, but still not a riot. There's a din. Tashma v'saftalo kol Yisrael v'kavro. So by Aviah, the son of Yeravam, it says that they gave him a hesped and they buried him. So maybe that also is a riot that you need kavura minatar. Nah, d'lo l'shtani miminaga. Also, just to keep with practice. Lo yisbedu v'lo yikaveru l'domen al pnei adama yiyu. Pasuk says in Sefer Yirmiyahu that the rishayim are not going to be buried. So don't you see that that's a punishment? Nah, d'lo l'shtani miminaga. It's a punishment because it's going against the minhag, but not because it's going against the halacha. Ibayilu kfura mishum bizyonu mishum kaparu. What's the purpose of kfura? Is it to be meva? Is it so that we save him from bizayon of not being buried, or is it that the kfura itself achieves kapara? Lemayna femina damar labina delikfura lu gavra. Guy says, I don't want to be buried. Yeah, mishum bizyonu hu lo kal kaminai. If it's mishum bizayon, he can't be mevaz his whole family by leaving him unburied. V'yam mishum kaparu. But if it's about his own kapara, amar labina kapara. Let him say he doesn't want kapara. So my, what's the din? The gemara is going to have three rayas. Raya number one, tashma. We bury tzaddikim. We are mishum kapara tzaddikim. The kapara tzrichi. Do tzaddikim need kapara? In tichsiv adam ein tzaddik varitz shayas tov leechta. Absolutely, tzaddikim require kapara. Everyone has some averus. Tashma raya number two. Pasuk says by Aviah the son of Yeravam, the saftu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru also. We amrit ki echid to tavi le kapara. And if you can say the reason of kavur is to give kapara, hanichnami le kavru. They should bury the other sons of Yeravam who are rishayim as well. Ki echid tavelu kapara. So they too can get kapara. So it says more now. We only want to give kapara to the one who deserves it, the tzaddik who deserves kapara. Let the rishayim not get a kapara. And then the final raya tashma lo yisaftu v'lo yikaveru about all the rishayim that they're going to be punished by not having hesped or kfura. So you see, why are they not buried if it's for kapara? Let them have a kapara. Says Gemara, no, that's their punishment. Lo ta'avilu kapara. They're such rishayim that we are withholding kapara from them, and therefore at the end of the day we do not answer this suffix of what the purpose of kfura is. And Bezrashem tomorrow we'll pick up with a discussion of what the purpose of hesped is.